This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
Look at you getting all this attention in the media lately, huh? Well, what's going on? Look at you, like, even with one arm. What? So you're one and a half arms now?
Yeah, I'd say 1 3/4.
Really?
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good.
You know what? At your age, 1 3/4, you can do worse. Let's just round that up to 2.
I still don't have the strength to lift anything with my left arm. Yeah. I mean, this is like the extent of it. I'm holding the microphone.
Yeah.
And when I'm cooking, I'll like take the pot off the stove and it'll just drop to the floor. Like, oh, crap. That's right. I got nothing.
Know, I really appreciate the way that you're committing to the shtick.
Thank you.
The injury shtick, so you don't have to move
boxes. This is what I was talking about beforehand.
Well, you look great, but you're getting all this attention. So I again, don't really pay attention to your attention, but...
So I guess this past weekend, an article about me was nominated for a Lissaker Award, which is like
that's a big deal in Chicago.
It's like the highest honor for journalism in Chicago. Gwen Innett interviewed me for Block Club Chicago and nominated it for best. What's it called here? Best theater or literary coverage category.
Theater.
Yeah, theater or literary coverage. This is the literary. I'm nominated for literary coverage.
Did you see that Lissaker? You know, it's the Lissaker, right? Is that Lissaker?
Yeah.
Okay, it was really a high esteem until now.
Well, so you're saying just my own
besmirching the status of this award, yeah.
Okay, well, I just want people to realize while they're listening to this show that they're listening to potentially a literary icon.
Well, yeah, but it's you're not getting any plaque or anything, right?
No, it's about me. I mean, that's how interesting I am. I'm so interesting.
So Carl Sandburg and his thing with Lincoln, that didn't win, or that's not nominated.
Oh, so you want me to play the Lincoln poem again?
No, stop with the Lincoln poem. Okay. We'll do that again next year, because God knows we repurpose content.
All right, well, it's time for Minutia Men.
The following is a Tony Lasano podcast.
An Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
This is Minutia Man with Rick and Dave.
Aren't you the Susan Lucci of the Lissaker Award?
Yes, I am. I was nominated as a writer, I think, 4 times or 5 times, but I was always in the same category as Roger Ebert. So
you're 0 for 5?
0 for 5, yes.
Did you even bother going to the award ceremony?
I went once, and then I realized as soon as I saw the list, I'm like, there's no chance. I have no chance of winning this. Why am I even going?
Because they needed a fifth one.
Right? Well, and they needed the $100 or whatever it costs to go.
You know, that's what people don't realize is that when you go to these award ceremonies and, like, Emmys, like if you are for local Emmys, you have to pay.
Oh, I know.
And the television stations often, and the radio stations often don't foot the bill.
If you get nominated into like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you have to buy like
a table.
$15,000 tables.
Oh my God.
And same thing is true with the Radio Hall of Fame. When John Landecker was named, they made him buy a whole table.
Wait, but we didn't sit at his table. We bought our own table. Wait a second. He had a table? For his famous daughter and Bradley Whitford.
And his brother and his family.
We were in steerage. Well, congratulations and congratulations to the author. Who is the
Gwen Innett.
Gwen Innett, great job.
From Block Club Chicago.
Hey, we got a huge show here. And at our age, I'm going to need a nap soon.
Okay, all right.
I think we've already done a show.
Right? We have.
Remember when your kids were little and they whined about something and would you do the little
I might have done that once or
little
twice.
Little pouty face and how'd they
you know what my favorite thing to say was, you know what a famous philosopher once said?
I would do little pouty face and oh God, they absolutely hated it. But this is
Parenting 101.
This next article is going to be a wah, 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 to an entire generation.
Okay, I can't wait.
25% of Gen Zers say they'll need a therapist to deal with tax filing stress.
You know, I could use one myself.
Well, Bridget does it, so it's not like you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you...
That's the stress. That's the stress.
Well...
you faced it.
Actually, I'm the one who faces it. Taxes aren't enjoyable for people of any age, but they can be particularly stressful for younger generations, many of whom have never filed before. According to a recent Cash App taxes survey, one in four Gen Z taxpayers, and Gen Zs are people from age 12 to 27. Of course, people 12 are not filing taxes. So I'm just going to, you know, 18 to 27, let's say, right? Said they'll need a therapist to deal with the stress of tax filing season. Additionally, 54% said filing taxes has either brought them to tears in the past or expected to this year. Okay. Martin Frazen, owner of a Liberty Tax franchise in Austin, Texas, says that last year he had three young adults have actual panic attacks in his office. One required medical attention. Okay.
Wow.
Now, when we were this age, you know, we didn't have the TurboTax and the, you know, the Taxmaster or whatever, right? Where you just plug in your numbers. You know, guess how long it takes the average person to file taxes with TurboTax. Now, it's the average, not the median, but the average.
I don't know.
14 minutes.
Okay.
So, you little whiny little babies.
And when you're at the very end of the, or the very beginning of your earning income.
Yeah, you got no kids. You got no deductions. You got, right. Yeah, it's, come on.
What are you making, $8,000 a year? I mean, come on. Please.
Do you want to know some other fun facts about Gen Zs?
Sure.
According to a 2023 Pew Research study, what percentage of Gen Zers expect to retire by the time they are 50?
Like 60% or
43%
something.
43% think that they're going to. What's the percentage of Gen Zers who cannot name the participants in World War II?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
39%.
That's bad.
And how, what's the percentage of Gen Zers can't identify a picture of John F. Kennedy?
Wow. I don't know.
61%.
Holy mackerel.
Right. So
we were both born during the Kennedy administration.
Well, we're boomers.
Yeah.
But we are spry, young, vibrant boomers.
We got a hop in our step.
Yeah.
Well, I have a story for you.
Yeah.
You know how I kind of got some grief about the cicada story that we did a few weeks ago?
The cicada story was one of the most engaged stories that we've ever done with emails that we got about it. Evidently, everybody's got a cicada story.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to be inundated with cicadas. And I told you about cicadas peeing a few weeks ago.
And eking.
I've read a little bit more about this. It's much worse than I thought it was. All right. Let me read to you from the, this is from the New York Times, actually from the Associated Press this week. In March, a study of the urination flow rates of animals across the world was published. Okay. Cicadas are the king of peeing. They pee 2 to 3 times stronger and faster than elephants and humans.
Wow.
The study.
How old are the humans? Not Gen Zers. Gen Zers is much better than baby boomers.
The study couldn't look at the periodical cicadas that mostly feed and pee underground, but used video to record and measure the flow rate of their Amazon cousins, which topped out around 10 feet per second.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They have a muscle that pushes the waste through a tiny hole like a jet. The writer of the study said he learned this when he was in the Amazon. He happened on a tree the locals called a weeping tree because liquid was flowing down like the plant was crying. It was cicada pee.
Wow.
That's, by the way, we're going to get inundated with cicadas, so be ready for this. Now, it gets worse. It gets worse. There's also a deadly sexually transmitted disease, a fungus, that turns cicadas into zombies. I'm not kidding about this. This is from the Associated Press. It causes their private parts to fall off.
Oh, my God.
This is a sexually transmitted zombie disease. They're completely at the mercy of the fungus. They're walking dead.
So, obviously, it's when they're... It's not like, well, no, I don't know. Can a human have sex with a cicada? I don't know. So be careful, right?
Get when you're in the middle of a peeing contest with the cicada. Yeah. In some areas in the Midwest, up to 10% of the individuals were infected of cicadas.
Individual cicadas.
Yeah. The white fungus takes over the male. Their gonads are torn from their body. And chalky spores are spread around to nearby.
So they
nearby.
Get married, basically, is what happened.
Chalky spores are spread around
chalky
to...
Chalky spores was your punk band that you were in for a while.
Mm-hmm. To other cicadas, the insects are sterilized. They're not killed, but it sterilizes cicadas. It's a fungus. And it also has a hallucinatory effect on birds that eat the cicadas with the
so
with
it's
the,
sex, drugs, and rock and roll, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy your summer, Chicagoland, because that's what we have in store for us.
Well, you know, when you I'm not going to tell the story of testicular fungus for this show, but we'll get to my bout with testicular fungus someday soon. How does that sound?
Can't wait.
Hey, we got a review.
All right, let's hear it.
This is from this is perhaps my favorite review we've ever had. It's given by iMatter on Podable. The review, a perfectly respectable podcast.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
You could do worse.
Yeah. I like that. And each one of those podcasts includes this feature.
Time now for Studio Walls.
And the words of the prophets were written on the studio walls. Rick and Dave's.
So this is the part of the show where we dip into the Rick and Dave archives and... You know, Dave, opening day was this week.
I saw the picture of you at opening day with your son.
Yeah.
It was like a picture from Platoon. You know, you had the ponchos on. It was raining.
Yeah.
Looked awful.
Yeah, it was. You know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, we had a good time together.
Yeah.
And the rain didn't really start until like the sixth inning. So we got like six good innings before.
It was like 34 degrees, wasn't it?
It was a little chilly. Yeah. It was a little chilly. But, you know, opening day is a big day for me every year.
Oh, yeah.
And this goes back, you know, 15, 20, 30 years, including opening day of 2012.
Okay.
All right. This was a day when the Johnny B Show, the Jonathan Brandmeier show, was on WGN Radio. And they invited Tom Latore, one of our authors, who sang a song that I wrote.
Okay.
Called We Can Wait 100 Years.
So this was before they won the World Series.
It was 4 years before they won the World
Series.
Were
they crappy in 12?
Yes, they were terrible. And he sang this song at a live broadcast at Wrigley Field with Jonathan Brandmeier, and was sitting right in front of him, 8 feet away, and I was there too, 8 feet away, Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs.
Who we've had the pleasure of hanging out with.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. But I have that tape.
Sure.
And I'd like to play a part of it for you right now. This is Tom Latore singing We Can Wait 100 Years from 2012. Here we go.
All right, Cub fans, hope springs eternal. Come on, another season. This is the year. Thanks so much. It's about time that I blow you. We buy garages from Daddy just for you. We drink old style and we pay you $8.50. So between you and me, that's not the proof.
That's right.
And the price tag to get hit with some concrete that will crumble on our seats. 52. They say we're angry, but how angry can we be when the Cubs security's like 92? And we can wait 100 years, but we can't wait even 1 year more. It's been a whole damn century. It's time to even up the score. It's 69-84, and we can just buy a score in 2003. Then a bridesmaid in 32 and 35 and 38 and 45 plus has 50. This year we're betting that we're gonna have a wedding. Somebody's gonna buy us all a season ring. A celebration. Gonna trample combination like that violates peace with Brian's day. Cause we can't wait 100 years. But we can't wait even 1 year more. It's been a whole damn century. It's time to even up the score. POF, POF, POF,
It wasn't the year the Cubs get the ring.
So looking back at that, that was 4 years before you won your first ring.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you would have gone back in time and at 12 and you say, look, you're going to get one World Series in 4 years and then never again, you would have taken that.
Oh, right? Without question. Yeah. And, you know, I honestly thought at that point that it was going to happen because, you know, we believed in Theo Epstein. When he was hired, mm-hmm. we were like, you know what? This guy's going to do it. And guess what?
Yep.
He did it.
And then he was run out of town, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't run out of town. He left on his own.
Yeah. Why would you leave?
Because he knew he wasn't going to win it again.
Because he wasn't going to be 162 the next time he win. Well, that was very nice. Thank you, Tom.
Yep.
He's a great guy.
He is.
And they also, he's a very charitable man as well.
Yes. His charity, Beat Tom and Bill, is a charity that collects money for cancer patients and hands it out. So. He's a good man.
Yes. Hey, I got another story you want to hear?
Yes.
Our homes are too clean and it should be seeded with germs, says researcher and pretty much every fraternity in America.
Yeah.
Introducing good bacteria into your home may help prevent your children from developing childhood illnesses like asthma and allergies.
Okay. I think we're on the right track
here. Well, especially what I'm going to tell you in a second. Homes have been exceptionally clean these days. Most homes.
Yeah.
Thanks to modern cleaning, which have left children at a disadvantage because they're not getting exposed to, you know, micro germs and whatever. A theory called the hygiene hypothesis suggests that this lack of exposure is why kids have so much, asthma. Do you remember when your kids were in grammar school?
Yeah.
Like every kid had an inhaler.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah.
Now, granted, I don't know if they needed the inhalers or not. But do you remember when we lived in college?
Yes, I remember.
In the pit.
Yes.
The, you know, the pit. We should live 100 years, you know, right?
We will live 100 years.
I mean, that was the most, you know, the most dilapidated, the biggest dilapidated shanty on earth.
Yeah.
So while I was doing this, I remember a story. Do you remember? Well, of course, you don't remember the pit. Me, you, Steve Quinn, and somebody else, we were trying to gross each other out, which what guys at 22 will do, right?
Yeah.
And Steve took out a saltine, dipped it in our toilet, and ate it. God. Do you remember that?
I totally do remember that. That scarred me forever.
Well, Steve's going to live 200 years, probably. So don't worry, and this goes out to my lovely wife, don't worry if our house isn't exactly clean.
Yes.
Because we are better parents.
Exactly.
For instilling a robust immune system in our children.
That's so true. So thank you for that. I have a story that is out of Washington State. Now, this is kind of a human interest story, okay. Let's say. Two brothers passed away recently. Mm. They were unmarried. They had no children. But what they did have was one of the biggest Star Trek collections in the world.
Down to the two brothers died close together?
Yeah, they were... You know, they lived together. They were best friends. One died of, you know, like a heart attack. The other one was so upset he took his own life. But thanks for bringing it down. I was going to mention that part.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, they both
died. I'm a journalist. I dig.
Okay. So the Star Trek collection, how big?
Yeah.
The items took up two living rooms and a bedroom, all lined with bookshelves, according to Elena Hamill, one of the brothers' nieces. The centers of the rooms were lined with additional bookshelves, all packed to the brim to create aisles. There were jewelry cabinets serving as display cases.
Wait a second, they weren't married?
I know, what are the odds? The shelves contained action figures, dolls, models of ships, posters, ornaments, lunchboxes, Legos, several toy phasers and tricorders. You know what those
are. Of course.
Remember those? Multiple Star Trek lamps. Trading cards, comic books, Trek-themed geeky tikis, which is like a tiki mug. Life-size cutouts of the famous characters. The life-size captain's chair. While it's impossible to account for every private collector in the world, the collection is almost assuredly among the largest, if not the largest. The last editions of the collection came the final weeks of his life, stuffed rabbits in Star Trek uniforms. I've never seen a collection this size, said Russ Halaj, the president of the International Federation of Trekkers, a Star Trek-themed nonprofit.
Unmarried.
That he founded with Gene Roddenberry. So
the creator,
Yes, I mean, that's how big this collection was. And now they're gone.
Yeah.
And what happens to all that crap?
I don't know. What are they?
I don't know. They're trying to decide. But it reminded me of a famous sketch on Saturday Night Live starring William Shatner, which I'm going to play for you now.
My favorite line.
Here we go.
The man you've all been waiting for. This is his first Star Trek convention in quite a long time. I know he's thrilled to be here. Captain James Tiberius Kirk himself. Now, Bill's here to field a few questions, so just fire away.
So, Mr. Shatner. Mr. Shatner.
All right, the first question.
Okay, when you were going to beam down on the planet, okay, for the last time in episode 25, I was wondering, like, what was going on with the crew in that particular...
Episode 25?
Yeah.
You got to give me a plot, see, because it's 20 years and it's a long time.
Episode 25, that's where you and the crew of the Enterprise got attacked by these spores and started acting real weird, like hippies and stuff.
Right, I remember. Okay. What's your question?
I wonder if you could settle a bet for me and my friends,
sure.
Okay? Like, when you left your quarters for the last time and you opened up your safe, what was the combination?
I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time. I don't know that.
Okay, okay.
Okay? Anybody? Oh, all right. Go ahead. Go ahead. You in the funny shirt.
Okay. Okay. Another bet.
Uh-huh.
Okay. On your horse farm, all right, how many saddlebred horses do you have?
34.
Wait. Is that including the colt that was born earlier this week?
That mare had a foal?
Tuesday.
Well, I guess it's 35 then.
All right.
You know, before I answer any more questions, there's something I wanted to say. I having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? For crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people? What have you done with yourselves? You must be almost 30. Have you ever kissed a girl? I didn't think so. There's a whole world out there. When I was your age, I didn't watch television. I lived. So move out of your parents' basement and get your own apartments and grow the hell up. I mean, it's just a TV show, damn it. It's just a TV show.
Are you saying then that we should pay more attention to the movies?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Hey, you guys are the lamest bunch. I mean, I've never seen it. I can't believe these people. I mean, I really can't understand what's going on.
Okay, it goes on for another minute or two, but that's great stuff. That's Star Trek from Saturday Night Live, William Shatner. By the way, William Shatner.
93. I just saw something.
He just did the voiceover on the Loop documentary that is coming out.
Are you kidding me?
They hired him to be the narrator for the Loop documentary.
Really?
Yeah, which is coming out soon, supposedly.
Does he have any connection with
the No, Loop? Not really. He's just the voice guy. They just hired him to do it.
Wow.
So yeah, I can't wait to see that. That's coming out soon.
We just saw a documentary about him, I don't know, 6 months ago. He went into space.
Yeah.
It was very, very interesting.
Right. I heard an interview with him. I think we're not going to interview him because it was like,
oh, really?
Yeah. All right. It's time for another feature. I think, what do we call this one again, Dave? You know, it's all starting to fade, but I think we call this one Celebrity potpourri.
Yeah, you were just
a random name pulled out of Rurik's bowl of brushes with celebrities.
Mixture, collection, selection, assemblage, medley, assortment, variety.
Time now for Celebrity Potpourri
with Rick and Dave.
So this is the part of the show where people send in their brushes with celebrity, and we read them. This one's a little bit different. I just got this morning. I have a question for Rick. Just saw the news that Joe Flaherty from SCTV passed away this week. Did you ever get a chance to meet him? And what was your favorite Joe Flaherty role? I didn't meet him in person. I mean, I was in the same room with him. I didn't have a conversation with him, but I did see him at the Second City in Chicago when they reunited for their 50th anniversary of the show for SCTV. The whole cast was there, I think, except Rick Moranis and obviously John Candy. Right. Yeah. But Joe was there, Joe Flaherty, Harold Ramis was still alive, Andrea Martin was there, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy, Dave Thomas, Martin Short was there. It was amazing to see them all up close like that in that small room on the same stage that you and I
that we
once performed.
Yeah, did they mention us? I'm just curious.
They did not. Yeah. No.
Why were we not invited to the 50th anniversary?
I was there.
See, this is just another instance where, when you do a really good interview with somebody and I'm not invited, this is exactly the same thing.
So as for my favorite Joe Flaherty moment in his career, I do have one, and it's in the movie Stripes. Do you remember him in Stripes?
Yeah, vaguely.
He was the Czech border guard.
Okay.
And John Winger, Bill Murray, takes him hostage and says, I'm John Winger, I'm from Chicago, and you're my prisoner. And Joe Flaherty, in broken English, says, oh, Chicago, bang, bang. But he was
very funny man. Very funny man.
Loved him on SCTV, Count Floyd.
Yeah.
He was in everything.
He did a ton of movies.
Too. Yeah. He was in Happy Gilmore. Just go out and watch some Joe Flaherty stuff because he always.
He was in Schindler's List. He was great in Schindler's List.
I don't think he was in Schindler's List, but he was in many, many other things. All right. We have people to thank for the show. Actually, should we also tease our other show?
Yeah. We're going to interview in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Tony DeFranco.
Of the DeFranco family?
Tony DeFranco of the DeFranco family.
Now, I thought you guys did that a few weeks ago.
We had a little technical problem when we did it. Our board kind of blew up.
Yes.
They couldn't take the heat of the interview. Yes. So we had to get a new board and everything for Tony DeFranco.
Well, we got him back. And so that'll be posted soon on Minutia Men Celebrity Interview. Check it out there. People to thank, we need to thank Tony Lozano.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate everything you do.
Tony is the executive producer of Minutia Men. Yes. We also should thank
Ed Silla,
who is the
distributor
of
the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever seen you do charades before. You'd be great at charades.
Two words, first syllable. Yeah, so we need to thank them as well. And, you know, I think
we'd like to thank all of you who are listening to us.
Yeah, because we don't do that enough, do we?
No, we don't.
Yeah. We do have some pretty cool listeners. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all your submissions, all the things you send us, the reviews and the emails that you send that we can use on the show. It makes us work less. Which we always
if you can create any content for us, that'd be fantastic. You know, you can, would it kill you to do a bit?
Right.
You know, I don't know, what, 6 minutes?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Video something, we'll put it on.
It would really help. Yeah. It would really help. Man, we'll be back again next week with your help to do another show of Minutia Men.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
A perfectly respectable podcast.